Good day and welcome to today's CMS Home Health Quality Improvement Campaign conference call. This call is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to Ms. Sarah Butterfield. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you, Casey. Good morning, everyone. I hope everyone had a nice holiday weekend. And we welcome you this morning to the first of our monthly series of learning sessions that we're dedicating to the priority areas of focus for the CMS Home Health Quality Improvement National Campaign. Many of you did participate on our January 16th teleconference presentation where we discussed the specifics about the campaign and the benefits of your participation. And as usual, the response of our New York home health providers has really been extraordinary. To date, we have over 80% of the New York State home health providers who have signed up to participate in the campaign. So that's a very awesome response to recruitment. All of the people that have registered so far received an invitation to the conference call this morning. And we're going to focus on the important steps to prepare your agency for this initiative and how this initiative really will fit into the work you may already be doing targeting reduction of acute care hospitalization for your agency. I just want to make the important note that the level of experience in reducing acute care hospitalization really varies amongst all of you who are participating on today's call. Some of those on the call today have been working on the ACH project as far back as the pilot project that we started back in March of 2005. And some of you may go back even further, having focused on acute care hospitalization as your target outcome in the 2002 to 2005 time period that you worked with us. And then there's also agencies that have received and reviewed all of the resources that we've sent out statewide and maybe have participated in workshops and educational sessions but have not taken the strategies further within your agency. So what we're going to try to do with these learning sessions is keep them all as clear and understandable as possible. As we prepared for this first session, we spoke with many of you who have been working on this right along and got feedback from you that really a review of this information would be helpful. So keeping that in mind, we hope everyone finds the information that we're going to share in these learning sessions to be very helpful. Those of you who registered for today's presentation were forwarded a copy of the PowerPoint slides and handouts. There were two additional handouts. One was the Acute Care Hospitalization Clinical Record Review Tool, and the other handout was a sample risk assessment tool. We're going to reference those during today's call. If for some reason you didn't receive them and you'd like to download a copy, as usual, we've posted them to the IPRO website. You can get to them going to http://providers.ipro.org/index/home-health. And in the first bullet point there, you'll see in the upcoming events section today's presentation, and it'll provide you with the link to the slides and handouts. The call is being taped, and it'll be posted to our website in the next 45 days. Same section that I just referred you to under the past events section, and again, the handouts will be there along with that. So if there's someone else in your agency that you'd like to have listen in or some additional staff that you would like to hear the information on, they can access this on the website in about 4 to 5 days. Currently, we have all of your lines muted, and then after the presentation, we're going to open it up for discussion and questions. In addition to our home health project team this morning, Dr. Imperato, Chris Stiegel, and Vicki Agrimani, we're very pleased to have with us on today's call members of the Local Area Network of Excellence, termed the LANE. We have representing the Continuing Care Leadership Coalition, Roxanne Tana Nelson and Kelly Donahue. Representing the Healthcare Association of New York State, we have Rose Duhan. Lexi Silver has joined us from the Home Care Association of New York State. And Aaron Blackborough from the New York State Association of Healthcare Providers. We're very pleased to have them on the call with us today. As I mentioned to you previously, these organizations are members of our IPRO Home Health Steering Committee, and we've been working closely together with them over the past several years on all of the initiatives that we've been working on. But for this particular campaign, CMS has created the structure for the QIOs and the state associations to partner together. And as I mentioned, we're called the Local Area Network of Excellence. And our goal is to support the campaign and the efforts of all of you who have joined the campaign. We're also very pleased to have joining us on the call today Misty Kevich. Misty is from the Quality Insights of Pennsylvania, and you've heard us speak many times of the lead QIO, or the Home Health Kiosk, who are our support for all of these initiatives for the ACE scope of work, and we're very pleased that Misty has joined us today. I'm going to move on to slide number 3 and take a look at the objectives for this presentation. We're going to provide an overview of the goals of the CMS Home Health Quality Improvement National Campaign. That HHQI stands for Home Health Quality Improvement. I'm going to do that quickly because I know most of you were on that January 16th call, but keep in mind some of you were not, so we just want to get everybody on the same level of understanding, same page. We're going to discuss the important steps to prepare your agency for participation in the campaign. We're going to review the reports and the information that will guide identification of agency and patient-specific risk factors that contribute to your unplanned acute care hospitalizations. We're going to provide an introduction to the hospital risk assessment concept and also review next steps for the New York agency that are participating in the national campaign. And we're really going to stress these next steps and what you can do to prepare to sort of lay the foundation for the success of your agency participating in the campaign. On slide number 4, just review quickly the campaign goals. Campaign participants are going to work to reduce the number of avoidable hospitalizations in the home care setting while improving patient outcomes and patient satisfaction. And the measurement goal is to reduce the average acute care hospitalization rate across all campaign participant home health agencies by a 5% relative improvement from your beginning baseline rate to the end of the campaign. And I'm going to talk just a little bit more about that briefly because it's relative improvement is one of those hard concepts to understand. Let me just say that the baseline period for which your baseline rate comes from is your 12-month OBQI report period ending September 30th, 2006. And what you can do to find out what your baseline rate is just simply look at that agency trend report that we sent you last month. That last time point is going to be that, or you'll see the September time point on that agency trend line. So that is considered your baseline rate. The remeasurement rate is going to be the 12-month period ending February 28th. And that is going to be what's posted to Home Health Compare in May of 2008. So each of you received, along with an invitation to this conference call today, part of that invitation included what your relative improvement target goal was, because sometimes that's a difficult concept, it's hard to calculate. So that letter, actually, we calculated for you what your relative improvement rate translates to for your agency. If you were not the one that was receiving that letter or you didn't receive a copy of the letter, you can call one of our iPro Home Health Project Team members and we'll be happy to share that with you. In case you have anyone within your agency being statisticians, there's always some people that really want to know what the formula is, where does the number come from. If you look at slide number 6, we actually gave you the formula to determine what a 5% relative improvement would be to determine your target goal. And you'll see there it's your baseline rate, and as I mentioned, that's your acute care hospitalization rate off of your reports for the October 2005, September 2006 report. That gets multiplied by 0.05, and that's going to give you your percent of improvement. Then you're going to take that baseline rate again and subtract the percent of improvement, and that's going to give you your relative improvement target goal. So if we look at that actually using real numbers, on slide number 7, you'll see an example. This particular agency's baseline rate was 38% off of their OBQI report, the report for October 05 to September 06. We're going to take that 38% acute care hospitalization rate, multiply it by 0.05, and you come out with 1.9%. That's the percent of improvement. You're then going to take the agency's baseline rate again, that 38%, and subtract the percent of improvement that you just calculated, which for this agency was 1.9%, And that's going to provide you with a 5% relative improvement target goal, which for this particular agency ends up being 36.1%. So this agency's baseline acute care hospitalization rate was 38%, and in order to meet the campaign goal of a 5% relative improvement, they're going to strive for their target goal of bringing their rate down to 36.1%. Again, as I mentioned, this is provided to you in that letter that we sent you for ease of calculation, so you wouldn't have to do this yourself. But if you don't have that, we'll be happy to provide it to you. So now that we know what our goal is, we want to talk about how we were going to get to it, and let's talk briefly about the monthly intervention packages that you're going to have access to. Now, some of this information, as I mentioned, was covered on this call on the 16th, so I'm just going to move through this piece a little quickly. I want to just make sure everyone understands what types of resources that you're going to have available to you for the campaign. So I'm now on slide number 8. The monthly intervention packages that you're going to get are going to be online on the campaign website. It's going to provide you access to the tools, resources, guidelines, information, and best practice educational materials. And we're going to talk about those in a little more detail in just a minute. I provided you the campaign website, the www.homehealthquality.org, and each of the intervention packages are going to be posted the first week of each month. So we'll be sending you an email letting you know that they're available so that you can go there and access the intervention package of the month. You can also pick and choose which components may effectively support your acute care hospitalization reduction efforts. And I'm going to talk a little more about what you need to consider and put in place to review and how really to pick and choose the particular interventions that are maybe applicable for your agency to bring down your acute care hospitalization rate. Slide number 9 gives you the tentative schedule for the intervention packages. And as the campaign tagline suggests, piecing the puzzle together to reduce acute care hospitalization, each of these topic areas are pieces to the puzzle that are important to reducing acute care hospitalization, the avoidable acute care hospitalization. And those of you who have had the opportunity to review the Briggs study are going to note that many of the strategies listed there are really closely mapped to the strategies that have been proven most successful nationally to have an impact on acute care hospitalization. And many of our New York State agencies have implemented a number of these strategies and have also been able to demonstrate success. On slide number 10, you'll see that the monthly intervention packages are designed for all agency clinical disciplines. The Quality Insights of Pennsylvania, which Misty represents, have put a great deal of thought in the design of the monthly intervention packages and really have done an excellent job. They are designed for all of the disciplines, including administration, management, and the clinical staff within your organization that you'll see there listed on slide number 10. You are also going to be able to download each of these discipline sections separately from the website. So if, for instance, you wanted to provide an in-service to your home health aides, you'll be able to download that particular section and print it out so you can have it as a handout to provide to your staff. Same goes for all of the other disciplines that are listed there. The monthly intervention packages are also going to be divided into two tracks. And track one, termed the path that will lead you to success, is designed for agencies that are not currently using that particular best practice intervention. If we use the example of the risk assessment tool, that will be the first intervention packet. Some agencies are not currently using that. So those agencies may choose to use the content for understanding the best practice intervention and its potential efficacy for your agency. Track two is called the highway. These are for agencies that are already using the particular best practice, and you can, again, choose to use the content to assess the current effectiveness of the intervention and potentially improve the use of that particular intervention. So you can actually use the material to strengthen the risk assessment tool or whatever particular strategy you may have implemented within your organization. So really, no matter where you are in the process, you have a step-by-step guidance to follow within the intervention package. Just to give you an idea of what types of resources are available in the discipline-specific section, slide number 12 provides a breakdown of what's included in Section 1, which is the administrators, clinical managers, and QI managers. And you can see that there's a brief description of the best practice interventions and potential application. There's a self-assessment to determine the current effectiveness and evaluate some opportunities to more effectively reduce hospitalizations. There's sample tools and resources, and also an action items checklist and an action plan worksheet to guide you through the implementation of the particular strategy. Slide number 13 provides a breakdown of Section 2, which is discipline specific for your clinical staff. And there's a brief description, again, of the best practice interventions and potential application of the specific discipline. There's also going to be a 15-minute audio recording that can be shared with the staff. That's going to be forwarded to you in a format of a CD-ROM. And the beauty of that is it can be copied by the agency and provided to staff to listen to, for instance, in the car, in between visits, and used as an educational tool. You also see that there's sample guidelines, tools, a guide to practical application, and multidiscipline success stories and supporting resources along with that. Additionally, on slide number 14, you'll see that there are resource sections. The resource sections, there's one for patient and family connection, physician connection, hospice and palliative care connection, hospital and managed care connections, and supporting resources. Each of these sections is going to provide you specific resources and interventions that that particular topic area can focus on. And as the campaign progresses month to month, what it will provide you with is an individual resource packet that speaks to each of the monthly topic areas. So, for example, if you look at the physician connection, each month there will be specific interventions that relate to the best practice that's focused on. And so at the end of the campaign or throughout the campaign, you can actually have your own module or binder that has specific interventions, recommendations on the physician piece of that particular intervention. So that will be, I think, very, very helpful, especially I know that a lot of you are struggling with the physician piece and also the care transitions with hospitals and managed care organizations. As I mentioned before, all of these materials are going to be posted to the campaign website. They'll be posted as a whole document in case you want to download the whole resource packet, or by individual track section or by discipline. And they're going to customize the documents. They'll be the documents that are able to be customized by your agency are going to be posted in Microsoft Word format. So you can customize them, add your logos, make them very specific to your particular patient population and what you need to focus on within your agency. The monthly reports, I know we shared with you copies of those in the recruitment packet that we sent to you. So you have had an opportunity to take a look at those. Slide number 16 provides you a breakdown of the first part of those reports, which are really going to give you some state and national benchmarking rates. And you can see them listed there. It's also going to provide you with another trend graph with your actual acute care hospitalization rate versus your risk-adjusted acute care hospitalization rate. And I know that some of that is confusing, and we've had discussions before about the difference. The actual acute care hospitalization rate is what shows up on your OBQI report. It's your agency rate. It's not risk-adjusted on your OBQI report. What we send you on the agency trend reports monthly is risk-adjusted. So you'll actually be able to see a trend graph with those comparisons on the campaign reports that will come to you. And I provided you with a screenshot of what that report will look like on slide 17. Additionally, on slide 18, you're going to see that there is further breakdown to really help you drill down to what might be the actual cause of what is driving your acute care hospitalization rate. And for those of you that are long-term care agencies or serve the long-term care population, this information will be particularly important for you because it actually provides you case mix characteristics, number of hospitalizations out of the transfers and discharges. I know a lot of you are trying to do that manually now. And looking at hospital admissions by urgency, reason, and the particular day of the week that they are occurring. As always, our iPro Home Health project team and the members of the LANE are here really to help you, support you in any way possible through the campaign. That includes interpretations of those monthly reports. And we're going to be doing a little more focus on that at the March conferences, which I'll talk about a little later. So I'm on slide number 20 now, and we've discussed what the campaign goals are and the excellent resources and reports that are going to be made available to you to champion your work in this area. And really we want to look at what you should be doing right now to lay the foundation for success for your agency before that first intervention package arrives in March. We want to make sure that you keep up the momentum and the excitement about participation in the campaign. In support of the shared learning, we've put together some important next steps for you based upon the factors that have been shared by agencies here in New York and what our other fellow QIO home health project team members have shared with us nationally. And again, these next steps are here for you to lay the foundation, and we want you to be successful with this initiative and be able to decrease your acute care hospitalization rate. So looking at slide number 21, it's extremely important that this be an agency-wide effort. I cannot stress that enough. All disciplines should be involved and knowledgeable about the agency-specific goals and your progress to those goals. We've worked with many agencies where one person, whether it be the quality improvement person or nurse within the organization or a member of the leadership, is trying to carry the project by themselves. And it just does not work. There's a struggle. Quite often, it's not successful. Everyone within the organization needs to know and be involved in the campaign, everyone from your support staff all the way up to your leadership. So some strategies here. You want to announce to all of the staff that the agency has joined the National Home Health Quality Improvement Campaign. Share with them that actually now it's over 80% of the New York State home health provider community are registered to date. And nationally, over 4,100 home health providers are registered. So those are some phenomenal numbers. Share the list of the national home health industry stakeholders that are listed on the website that are supporting the campaign. And also there's now a category of campaign supporters that include vendors, consultants, individual clinicians, even some physicians, HMOs, and national corporate chain providers that are involved in the campaign and will be following the progress of the campaign and receiving information about that. I offer to you also, when we put these slides together, we put them in a format so that if you wanted to use these slides to present to your staff, you were more than welcome to use those or pieces of the slides, whatever would be helpful to you. But get the word out within the agency that you're participating and what your goals are. We often focus on the cost savings part of this or the fact that this data is posted to Home Health Compare for the community to view or the fact that pay for performance is coming and all the potential impacts that all of those have at the agency level. But really, it's very important to maintain focus on the benefits to the patients that you're caring for. And on slide 22, we've provided some key messages that could be shared with staff. You can add some of your own success stories in to really create the excitement about the initiative. And in this way, it avoids it being viewed as just one more thing that you've agreed to participate in. And I know some of the staff level and staff buy-in, sometimes that's viewed because there's so many things going on within the organization. So you see listed there particular bullet points about patients' desire to prefer to stay at home. Currently, more than one in four home health patient episodes result in acute care hospitalization. You could actually share your hospitalization. If you look back over the past year or over the past months, you can actually share with the staff how many of your patients have been hospitalized. So it makes it more personal for the agency. Really, the focus is geared towards delivering the right care at the right time every time, and that this is a shared effort that, as you note, over 4,100 agencies nationally are going to be focusing on. So there's some key messages to share with the staff. And just as important as creating the excitement about participation, you want to make sure to keep everyone informed on your progress. It's not enough just to announce that you're participating. It should be part of information sharing that's continued throughout the campaign within the agency. We suggest you identify a common area within the agency that all staff have access to and post information regarding the campaign. So initially, as you prepare for participation, what you could post, it can be something as simple as a poster board or one of those trifold posters you can get at Staples. Just the campaign key messages that you saw on a previous slide or adding your own. What your baseline agency acute care hospitalization rate is and what your target goal is for the campaign. You could post that schedule of the intervention packages, the topic areas that are going to be focused on. You could even post the success story of the week or month from the intervention packages themselves or one that's occurred within your organization. And the last two bullet points you see here, success stories and celebration of success, very important, often overlooked. Also serves as a learning experience for staff to hear what their peers are doing and the successes that they've had within the organization. And I know we've visited some agencies where this information, for instance, on acute care hospitalization or oral meds is posted right at the door. So everyone sees it, whether it be visitors or staff coming into the organization. And that can be very valuable. It keeps the campaign and your progress in the minds of the staff. The other important piece that I want to talk about is leadership support. The agencies who have been able to demonstrate success have involved all levels of the organization. And one of the most important of that is the leadership involvement. And we're talking about above and beyond the level of granting permission for participation in the campaign. You want to involve the leadership in the organization in all phases of the project. So share with them the information that we've shared with you about the rationale for the initiative and the impact to the organization. And you want to think about now establishing a process to share on a monthly basis the monthly reports that you're going to be getting, the interventions that you're choosing to implement within your organization, the particular agency success stories that are occurring, and any particular barriers that you encountered over the month, whether they be internal barriers or staff-specific or external barriers, because that senior leadership really can help you resolve some of those particular barriers. Our own New York State agencies have shared that the leadership support and involvement really promotes the importance of the initiative within the organization, and it keeps the agency focused on the progress towards the agency goals. It should be part of the monthly reporting, staff meetings, your progress, where you are, how the interventions are working, and information sharing with the staff. This in itself helps to address any barriers and identify any alternative actions to help you achieve success. And it also, importantly, promotes accountability for all levels of staff within the organization for success. I mentioned before about the QI manager or one particular person within the organization trying to carry the initiative, and really it's often difficult to hold staff accountable without the authority to do so. And you dedicate so much time and effort into the work, you want it to be successful. You do not want it to turn out as not being effective for your organization. So really, the leadership support is extremely important. And in concert with that, the staff accountability, the importance of staff buy-in and support. And on 526, we have some important issues there listed with regards to staff support and buy-in. Not surprising to you, your frontline staff are really your experts. They know and can share with you what's really happening at the point of care level. You're, I'm sure, going to anticipate some staff concerns and address them quickly, we suggest. you can share those concerns with us, and often we can help with answers because they often are concerns or barriers that other agencies have had occur, and we've had some experience with that. So if you have a particular staff concern that you're not as sure how to address, feel free to contact one of us and we can walk it through for you. Related to the risk assessment tools, for example, a lot of times what we hear from agencies is the initial resistance of the staff is the time to complete that. And what we've had success with many of the agencies sharing is that the time that it completes for the risk assessment tool, the time that it takes versus the 3 hours that it takes to do a start of care, resumption of care assessment following a hospitalization is much less time for the risk assessment tool. Of course, listen attentively to what they say to you. They have excellent suggestions on what will and will not work because they're out there on day-to-day at the point of care. Expect and plan for resistance. You may wish to involve some of the more resistant staff in the process again. And again, the importance of the senior leadership top-down support really is imperative in that part. Report that progress towards the agency's goals, and you want to make sure that you're celebrating both individual and agency successes. And that can be at staff meetings, through newsletters, or postings throughout the organization. Slide 27 provides some strategies that agencies have shared with us as being successful in gaining staff support and buy-in. We recommend you share that schedule of intervention package topic areas. And I ask them to identify, based upon their experience, the priority areas that have the biggest impact on reducing avoidable acute care hospitalization. And in addition to looking for opportunities for improvement, ask the staff to identify what's working well for your agency. What are the strengths? What is currently working that's having the biggest impact on reducing some of the avoidable acute care hospitalizations? Showcase what you're doing well, along with your progress. And also establishing goals at the clinician team level that support the agency's goals. We see that some agencies have started building in, and some of them have had for a while, specific goals in individual staff level performance evaluations. Think about that involving particular team goals or staff goals based upon your agency goals, and we know that many of you are doing that already. So moving on to slide number 28, we're going to identify the factors that are driving your agency's acute care hospitalization rate. It's important to know what agency-specific factors and what patient-specific factors are contributing to your current acute care hospitalization rate. It's difficult to choose what particular intervention until you know what really is driving your rate. So we're going to talk about how to look at both of those areas, agency-specific and patient-specific, and what particular tools you have available to you to support that. So let's start looking at agency-specific risk factors. Each agency has specific risk factors that drive their acute care hospitalization rate. And some of these factors may relate to particular protocols or policies or internal operating systems that you have within your organization. And it also includes the organizational culture within your agency. How things are communicated, how much staff are involved, how much senior leadership are involved. Very important to investigate what specific risk factors impact your agency's rate. Do patients, for instance, understand when to call you versus go to the emergency department? Do you have an internal system to identify who is high risk for hospitalization and to flag that for all of your on-call staff to know who those particular patients are? And the selection of interventions to decrease your rate must be based upon the specific risk factors that you identify for your agency. It doesn't make sense to choose something that you're doing well to focus in on and to try and improve. You want to try and pick those particular areas that will have the biggest impact on your rate. Slide 30 lists some tools and resources to help you identify agency-specific risk factors. And I'm going to talk about each of these individually so that the terminology is clear. One is the process of care investigation. The second is the case mix analysis summary report. And we provided you with a copy of that with the invitation to today's program. And also your adverse event reports. And let me talk a little bit about each in more detail. I'm going to start with the process of care investigations. The important piece here is that you can never assume that you know what factors are driving your agency's acute care hospitalization rate. You don't want to assume, for instance, that it's patient falls that is what's causing your acute care hospitalization rate to be high, when in fact it really could be problems with wound care management. You want to be able to focus in on the problematic areas and try to improve them. The terminology for process of care investigation often is confusing, fancy term. What it translates down to is really looking at the care that you're delivering to your patients and identifying any possible ways to improve your care outcome. On your particular reports, you have patient outcomes. You're able to look back at which patients were hospitalized over the last month in your internal monitoring. It's simply looking at those records or a sample of those records to see, was the hospitalization avoidable? And if so, what happened that should have happened to prevent it? Very simple, just looking back at the care that you've provided. On slide 32 provides particular questions that you're looking at for a process of care investigation, what it will answer. Again, you're going to review the care delivered to your patients. And from that review, you're going to look at what is driving your acute care hospitalization rate. You're going to be able to identify what you're doing well, specific areas that you can improve upon, and what particular area will give you the greatest benefit to improving care coordination and care management and reducing those avoidable hospitalizations. On slide 33, you can note that the process of care investigation can be conducted in a variety of ways, and these are the most commonly used ways that we see. The most common way is through the clinical record audit. We've provided you as a handout for today the Acute Care Hospitalization Clinical Record Review Tool. That you can use that tool to review a random sample of, say, at least 10 to 15 clinical records of patients that were hospitalized the previous month. So if you took that tool, pulled 10 to 15 records of patients that were hospitalized in your agency for the month of January, that tool will help you drill down to see what particular factors occurred for those patients and whether those hospitalizations were avoidable or not. It also helps you drill down to see what particular diagnosis those patients had. Based upon the clinical record review, areas will show up there on the review that have the most opportunity for improvement. And once you do your clinical record review, it's simply going to the chart looking to see if that particular factor was identified in the chart. For instance, one of the questions on the review tool is dedicated to the risk assessment. Was the patient identified as high risk for hospitalization? Upon review of the tool, you're either going to say yes, no, or in some instances it may be not applicable. You can share the results of those record reviews with us, and we'll be happy to help you select particular priority areas to focus in on. So it's really a very simple process. It also can be done by staff interview. It also can be done in supervisory case conferences. The most common way we've seen it is in the clinical record audits, and that's why we provided that tool to you, for you. The next resource that you have available to you is the Case Mix Analysis Summary Report. And as I mentioned before, we did provide a copy of that with the invitation to today's call. This particular report is now available to you on the CASPER system, where you download and enter your OASIS data. So you can actually go in and select that report for any of the publicly reported, actually for any one of the 41 outcome measures on your OBQI reports. So if you're working on oral meds, you can do the same thing for oral med management. What the Acute Care Hospitalization Case Mix Analysis Summary Report does is provides a snapshot of the characteristics of your patients for a 12-month report period. And we'll look at it in a little more detail. I'm on slide 36, and we're talking about the Case Mix Analysis Report, and the purpose of the report is to allow you to better understand the characteristics of your hospitalized patients. It's based upon the OASIS data that you collect and submit, and again, it's based upon that 12-month report period. Those reports are always based on a 12-month time frame. The case mix analysis report computes case mix values, and when I talk about case mix values, I'm talking about things as simple as the type of insurance the patient had, if they lived alone, if they had a caregiver, their home care diagnosis, any other contributing diagnoses they had. There's a number of factors that are listed on the report. The one for acute care hospitalization calculates those values for your hospitalized patients and your non-hospitalized patients. And it produces a report that shows the differences between these two patients. It's put together combining your outcome and case mix tally reports, and that really probably isn't that important to you now, except to know that's where it comes from, because the report is now available to you online at the CASPER system, so you can actually calculate itself for you. The case mix analysis summary report also extends the review of the case mix report and helps you determine differences between patients who are and are not hospitalized. And it really can help you focus your process of care investigation to identify some true causes for your agency's acute care hospitalization rate. If you look at, we'll look at a sample in just a second. I know this may sound a little bit confusing, but once you actually see the report, if you did not get a copy of it, you can let us know. We can provide that to you. But when you actually look at a screenshot of the report, which you can see on slide 40, I encourage you, we'll walk through that ourselves now, but if take a look at your own report after the call and sort of look and follow through the steps that we go through looking at slide number 40. This is a snapshot of the case mix analysis summary report. You can see at the top, agency name, your Medicare provider number, the date range is provided, always a 12-month time period, and filter date range, you can filter it by quarter. This particular report is done by year, same year time frame, 12-month time frame. This particular snapshot focuses on home care diagnosis. You can note in the left-hand column, column number 2, that there's case mix measures. You see particular home care diagnoses listed there. Again, this comes from what is entered into your OASIS. The averages percentages for hospitalized patients are shown in column 3, and averages percentages for non-hospitalized patients are shown in column 4. And column 5 shows you the differences between the hospitalized and non-hospitalized patients. Easiest way to look at this, look at column 5, and if the case mix value is higher for your hospitalized patients, you're going to see a positive number there. And if it's higher in your non-hospitalized patients, it's negative. So let's take a look at this particular one. This is a snapshot, as I mentioned, of home care diagnosis for ABC Home Care. Higher number of their endocrine metabolic patients are hospitalized. You can see for the hospitalized column, 24.48, non-hospitalized column, 15.04. The key, again, is to look at the last column for the higher positive numbers. You can see that this agency had a 9.44 difference for their endocrine nutrition metabolic patients. Same thing for the respiratory patients, fractures, and musculoskeletal disease. So for ABC Home Care, if they're going to build a risk assessment tool or identify what particular patients are higher risk for their agency for hospitalization, they may want to include risk factors such as a diagnosis or history of diabetes or a history of falls or fracture, COPD or asthma, as this report shows that those are the patients in their agency that are going to the hospital more frequently. So again, it gives you an idea of what your hospitalized patients look like and what factors, what particular diagnoses, whether they live alone, live with caregiver, which is another part of the report. Gives you a better idea of what those patients look like. I know that you're also familiar with your adverse event report, and this report is valuable in that it really helps you identify again to drill down to see what particular patients might be going to the emergency department and for what. The data really shows that if they get to the emergency department, it's likely that they're going to be admitted. This also provides you, the adverse event report provides you with a list of patient names that have those adverse events, and again, those can be helpful in selecting records to identify for clinical record review. So this particular tool, the adverse event report, and you can see a screenshot of it on page 40, on slide 42, gives you a snapshot of what particular types of factors may be driving your patients to the emergency room. You can see on slide 42, again, for this particular agency, emergent care for wound infection and deteriorating wound status may be a factor that's driving their acute care hospitalization rate. You can see for that particular factor that the white bar, which is their current period, is beyond where they were the last quarter. So again, you need to look at this report along with your case mix analysis report and the results from your process of care investigation to see what's really driving your acute care hospitalization rate. And we can help you with this. We can help guide you through it. It's actually very simple to do and helps you drill down to be more effective and successful. So now that you've talked about the agency-specific risk factors, talk about patient-specific risk factors, how does this all really apply to the campaign? Mentioned before, you want to be able to have the information, know how to prepare for the campaign, and how to prepare for that first intervention package that is coming to you the first week of March. So the first intervention package, first week of March, is going to be dedicated to hospitalization risk assessment. So based upon what we just talked about, how to identify what your agency's specific risk factors are and what particular patients might be driving your acute care hospitalization rate, why do we need that information? How does that apply to this first intervention package for hospital risk assessment? If you look at slide number 45, the hospital risk assessment tool really is used to determine the level of risk for your patients at start of care, resumption of care for hospitalization. The tool itself incorporates patient characteristics that are present. We just looked at some of them for ABC home care, for instance, diabetic patients, fracture patients, COPD or asthma, depends on what your particular reports show, and which patients have a higher probability of hospitalization. We've seen the risk assessment tool be used in paper-based version and also at point-of-care computerized systems. So it's what works for your organization. And again, these are some things to think about prior to getting the intervention package, and the intervention package will guide you through some of these thoughts also. The tool itself allows the clinician to really plan differently for these patients. If they're high risk for hospitalization, what are we going to do different for them? And it allows for specific clinical interventions to be implemented to reduce that potential for them going to the hospital. Now, we provided you with a sample risk assessment tool so you can sort of get an idea of what one may look like. We've identified some agency and patient-specific risk factors that could be contributing to your rate. And this information is used to customize that risk assessment tool for your patient population. The sample one that we provided to you is really only a sample. It's an example of how one was structured. It's not the end-all, be-all tool. Each agency really needs to know what particular risk factors are occurring within their agency. Those need to be built into the tool. And the scoring scale can be different for each agency. When you're designing, if you decide to go with the risk assessment tool, you really need to include your clinical staff in the design of the tool. And the process for completion of the tool varies by agency. It's what works well for your particular agency. On slide number 48, you see some examples of how agencies in New York have structured their hospitalization risk assessment tool. These are both traditional CHA agencies and agencies that serve the long-term care population, and they share these with us. The tool itself can be completed at start of care, resumption of care, either by the clinician or, for instance, the intake coordinator, or if you have a liaison nurse at the hospital, they can do that. If by intake coordinator or liaison nurse, that for some of the agencies has allowed for the interventions to be set up prior to that first visit. They're able to prepare the particular information that the start of care nurse needs to do and bring with her for that first visit so to take some of that pressure off trying to get everything together. It also streamlines the process a little bit more. But there's also been success with the start of care clinician doing it also. One agency had shared with us the social work staff had created their own risk assessment tool. That particular agency had a lot of behavioral issue patients that their social workers were involved with. So that has led to some of their success. If you have a fall risk assessment tool, you can incorporate the hospitalization risk assessment tool into the fall risk assessment tool, or vice versa. You can incorporate, if you have a scoring for your fall risk assessment tool, you can incorporate that particular scoring, a score of 10 or more from the fall risk assessment into the hospitalization risk assessment tool. Again, it can be part of the electronic record or also used as a paper tool. So it's what works well for your agency. And again, these are offered for you to start thinking about some particular ways. I know that some agencies that have been doing the start of care clinician doing their risk assessment tool now are thinking about perhaps the intake nurse or the liaison nurse doing it just so that they can streamline the process a little more. It's what works for you. I'm on slide number 49, and I want to stress with you that the most important factor, if you decide to do a risk assessment tool, that's going to have the biggest impact on you reducing your avoidable acute care hospitalizations, is that once you've identified a patient at high risk, you've developed and designed your tool, the staff are using it, you have to think about what specific interventions you're going to put in place if that patient is identified as high risk to prevent an unplanned hospitalization. It does no good to identify patients as high risk if you're not going to do something differently with them to prevent that unplanned hospitalization. And on slide 50, we've provided you with some potential clinical interventions. Again, there'll be some additional ones available into intervention packages that will be distributed throughout the campaign. These are some of the most common ones that we've seen, the front-loading of visits. The data shows that the highest risk for hospitalization is that first 2 to 3 week time frame within home care. So some agencies are increasing visit frequency weeks 1 and 2. Use of standardized disease management care pathways. Making telephone contact with that patient can be non-clinical staff that are making that telephone contact within those first few days of home care to see if they've got their medications, they've scheduled their doctor's appointment, or just interview them to see how they're feeling if they have any particular problems. Many of you are using the red, yellow, green zone self-management tools. And also, some agencies have had success with telehealth. So as you prepare for the start of this initiative, think about and discuss amongst your staff what particular interventions may be applicable for your particular patient population. If you're going to think about doing a risk assessment tool, or if you've been doing a risk assessment tool, look at the potential interventions to see if there's been success with those or something additional that you may need to incorporate. So starting with slide 52, I'm going to summarize what we've discussed into our next steps. We talked about promoting the campaign with your staff within the agency and engaging that senior leadership at the beginning and continuous. Encourage physicians, hospital liaisons, vendors, the license agencies that you may have partnered with for your home health aides, any other partners that you work with to join the campaign as a supporter. They can simply go to the campaign website and register that. There's a particular area where people can report as a campaign supporter right on that homepage. That way they have the information and can follow along with you and support you through the initiative. Also, you want to think about establishing a system within your agency for review of those monthly intervention packages. Again, they're going to come monthly. That review should include leadership. It also should include, if possible within your organization, a small team to review and decide if that's going to be something you want to implement within your agency. I would suggest you identify a point person to visit the website once you get that email from us to review and download the intervention package material. talk about a process for dissemination of the information across the agency, process for review and dissemination of the monthly reports, and a system to track the interventions chosen by your agency for focus, because you're going to have a lot of information that's coming to you each month, and it's first up front, think about how you're going to set up even to just take a look at that information to decide if it's something that you want to focus in on. Slide 54, you want to identify the agency-specific and patient-specific risk factors. I suggest that you do that now to see what's really driving your acute care hospitalization rate. Many of you that have been doing this for a while already have that down, so that's wonderful. Again, you can use the process of care investigation, the two reports that we review to get you that information. And if it's confusing or you can't access those reports, contact us and we'll help you with that. Discuss with the senior leadership and the clinical staff on an ongoing basis the findings from the process of care investigation and what you're seeing on those reports. Create a list of patient-specific risk factors that could be built into your hospitalization risk assessment tool. And again, some potential interventions that can be put into place if those patients are identified as high risk. Now, I mentioned that the first intervention packet is scheduled for the first week of March. We will send you an email, the IPRO HCCP liaison in your agency, the contact person for the campaign, that notifying you that the monthly intervention package is posted, and we'll provide you again with the website. We will also, that website in particular, as you'll see on slide 57, is going to be updated weekly, and they're designing it to be interactive. So that will be, I think, very valuable also. It's going to contain a physician section that will provide resources for physicians and agencies to provide to physicians in support of reducing avoidable acute care hospitalizations. And it's also going to contain video vignettes of case scenarios. So, for instance, the ED physician case scenario, sharing cases where home care made a difference in achieving a positive patient outcome. Instead of hospitalizing the patient could return home with successful home health interventions. So I think the website, and in addition to the intervention packages and the reports, are going to be very, very helpful. On slide 58, as a New York agency participating in the campaign, the LANE is sponsoring upstate and downstate learning sessions in March, and I provided the dates for those sessions, the times, where they're going to be located. For those of you not familiar with Rensselaer, it's just right outside of Albany, and the downstate session is in our corporate office in Lake Success. Only agencies that are registered for the campaign will receive invitations. Actually, those invitations are going out today. Due to space limitations, we need to limit people to two people per agency for attending. And realizing that tough time of the year, winter in the upstate and downstate region, we're going to record the upstate session and post that to our website. So it will not be the same as being there and being able to network with your peers, but we will have the information that's shared for those learning sessions available to you. And again, we can answer any questions and provide guidance. I listed for you on slide number 59 some of the objectives for that learning session in March. We're going to take a more in-depth look at the intervention package material. You will have it by then. You will not, unfortunately, have your agency-specific reports. Those will be coming to you in later on in March. But we'll do a walkthrough of the reports so that when you get through and get your own reports, you'll be able to understand that. We're also going to do some review of the Plan, Do, Study, Act cycle. Because you're going to be getting interventions on a monthly basis, and you need to really understand how to review that and decide and implement that in an effective time frame. And we'll also do a demonstration of the best practice monitoring tool, which many of you are already using now. Slide 60, I've got some important websites there for you to visit, the URL to the websites. And the following two slides provide you with the IPRO project team contact information for Chris, Vicki, and I, and also the LANE, the State Association contact information is listed for you on slide 62. So with that, Casey, I know it was a lot of information. I want to open the lines up for questions and comments. So if you could cue the group, I would appreciate it.
Thank you, Ms. Butterfield. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please do so by pressing the star key, followed by the digit 1 on your touch-tone telephone. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. And we'll take our first question from Ms. Deborah Hillard. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. I wasn't able to get two of the attachments off of the email that you sent, evaluation and the iPro ACH record review final document.
Okay. We'll send them to you.
Is there a way to get that off the website?
The clinical record review tool is not currently posted there, but we are going to be posting them there probably within the next week. The case mix or the risk assessment tool is not posted there at that point either. But it is. Is it not posted, Deb? Did you look at where it's posted for today's presentation? Is that you,
yeah?
You don't see it?
I was able to get the risk assessment tool and the 63-page slide thing, but I was not able to get the other two because they're in Word document. And because I have a different email system now, I have a feeling that that didn't interface properly.
Okay. Let's Chris or I will contact you after the presentation, and maybe we could fax it to you.
Okay, that would be great.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Sure. Casey, any other questions?
Yes, ma'am. Our next question will come from Patricia Kreiderman with St. Lawrence County.
Hi, Patty.
Hi, Sarah. Could you go back to slide 40? I'm kind of confused about that.
Sure.
Case mix analysis summary report.
Sure.
When you're looking at the numbers, you said to look at the difference in the fifth or the fourth, one, two, three.
Last column.
The last column.
Yep.
So you look at, like, all the positive numbers in there?
The quick way that I do it, and you can spend more detail on it, is I look to see in that last column which numbers are positive. That's the first step. And of those numbers that are positive, which are the higher numbers? For instance, endocrine metabolic for this agency, if you look in that last column, is positive. It's 9.44. So is musculoskeletal disease, which you can see is 3.95.
Yes.
Both of those could be risk factors for this the patients that are hospitalized for this agency. But the endocrine patients have a higher rate of hospitalization.
Right.
Musculoskeletal. So first look at if the number's positive, and then look to see how high the number is. The higher the number, the greater that risk factor for hospitalized patients.
Okay. And what about the one, like, that's respiratory disease on this one, and it says 4.11? And then when you look over at the hospitalized and not hospitalized, they're just almost even?
Well, the hospitalized is 58.09, and
right.
It's probably hard to see on the slide. The non-hospitalized is 53.98. I know it looks like 58.98 probably on the slide. But
that would be one that agency would also look at.
Yep. And, you know, on the reverse, too, the negative ones mean that it's higher than the hospitalized. But the easiest way to remember it is look for the positive ones and look for the high positive ones to identify which are the highest risk factors for hospitalized patients for your agency.
Okay.
And if you want us to walk through with your report in front of us and in front of you, we can help you with that.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. And we'll... The next question comes from Roberta Gettinger with CNR. Please go ahead, ma'am.
I'm just wondering if there'll be any ability to separate out long-term program data from CHA data?
Unfortunately, no. For the reports, these particular reports come from CMS based on your OASIS data. So we're not able to tease out. It used to be way back that you got two separate reports if you served both populations. CMS made the decision in 2002 to combine the reports. So it's not possible for these particular reports to figure out who your long-term care patients are and if you serve a combined patient population. What you could do, though, is look back internally at your patients who were hospitalized. You're going to know, hopefully, who those long-term care patients are, and agencies have been able to determine that that particular population might be what's driving their rate. The only drill down that we have available to us is that trend report that we send to you monthly. The second page of that provides a breakdown by the four agency types: traditional CHA, standalone long-term care agencies, special needs, and combined patient population by upstate and downstate region. That allows you to know, based upon what your rate is, how you compare with the peers in your group. That's as drilled down as we can do here in New York. Problem being, New York is the only one that has that long-term care waivered program.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Our next question will come from Phyllis Carballo with VIP Health Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, Phyllis.
Hi. I was just wondering, is there any way, I don't know if the present access software program will allow it, because we really like the acute care hospital's clinical record review tool. We can put that in as a best practice. In other words, I don't know if it'll accommodate the 14 elements in the access program.
In your computerized program, you mean?
Right, right.
That's probably a vendor question, Phyllis.
Okay.
I'm not going to, because there's so many different types of computers.
No, I'm talking about the one we presently use that you gave us from in Access. It's an Access program.
Well, you're talking about the best practice monitoring tool.
Right, right, okay. Right.
There's so many. And you're wondering if, so tell me your question again now that I'm realizing what you're referring to.
I'm trying to remember, but I think that the best practice where we do have put out in our plan of action and our best practice care behaviors, I think it only accommodates about 6 best practices. I could be wrong, but, we could, in fact, put these acute care hospitalization record review tool items.
Oh, yeah.
Right, okay.
Definitely.
And is there any way down the road that we do like the hospitalization and emergent care, start of care, risk factor assessment and plan, might that be down the road also put into a computerized thing that we could identify patients, and then start to drill down to where our issues are?
Certainly the best practice monitoring tool. I think that actually it's either 6 or 8 best practices, and you can take and load those other questions in there. Computerized, we'd have to talk with the individual about the computerizing the start of care. A lot of agencies have done that. Depends, again, on your vendor, what computerized system you have, to be able to incorporate that into the particular system that you have.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press *1 on your touch-tone telephone. And Ms. Butterfield, it appears at this time there are no further questions. I would like to turn the conference back over to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, great. Well, I know we've covered a lot of information, and if you're new to the program or these reports are new to you or you find them a little bit confusing, please, I encourage you to contact one of our project team members. We'll be more than happy to clarify anything for you. We hope that these strategies, that you'll consider them as you prepare to participate in the campaign. Anything we can do to help or provide guidance to you, we'd be more than happy to do that for you. If you have particular questions you didn't feel comfortable with asking on the call today, again, please contact us and we'll do our best to get answers for you. We thank you very much for joining the campaign. Again, I mentioned extraordinary response for New York, and I think we're all going to have a great deal of success with this. So with that, we're going to be posting an evaluation form to the website later today. So if you would please give us your feedback on today's call, the information shared, we'd appreciate it. you'll be getting those invitations for the March conference within the next 2 days. We're going to send it hard copy, and I'll also email it to all of you so that you can have it. The email with the information and the registration will go out today. Thank you again for joining us, and good luck with these first steps to lay your foundation. Take care.
This concludes today's conference. We do appreciate your participation. You may now disconnect at this time.